brought to you by Penguin.
Somme by Lynn MacDonald, read by Alison Dowling. Penguin Books, Somme. Lynn MacDonald is one of the most highly regarded historians of the First World War. Her books tell the men's stories in their own words and cast a unique light on the experiences of the ordinary Tommy. The Roses of No Man's Land, Somme, and Passchendaele have been recently reissued by Penguin. She lives near Cambridge. Author's Foreword. If this book had a subtitle, it might well be Whatever Happened to Kitchener's Army? The Somme happened to it. When the Battle of the Somme finished, Kitchener's army was all but finished too. In the beginning, of course, it wasn't an army at all, and it was not for nothing that people spoke of our boys. That is exactly what they were, a disorganized mob of young men in their teens and early twenties, delighted to have escaped the tedium of routine life and brimming with enthusiasm for the great adventure ahead. Patriotism? Oh yes, they were quite willing to teach the Kaiser a lesson. And they were gratified by the approval of cheering crowds in the streets who clearly thought they were splendid fellows. This opinion was not shared by despairing drill sergeants, who had the thankless task of turning this well-meaning rabble into something that resembled soldiers. Drill sergeants and officers were not thick on the ground. Before 1914, the British Army had been a small, tight-knit force of highly trained professionals, as it is again a century later, equally skilled in dealing with the impertinent skirmishes in foreign parts which, since the death of Napoleon, had passed as wars, and with the rebellions and insurrections in various parts of the empire it garrisoned and policed. Now that army had expanded tenfold, twentyfold. There were not nearly enough regulars to lick the would-be soldiers into shape, or officers to command them. But somehow it was managed, and Kitchener's army went to war. From the standpoint of the 21st century, and with the benefit of hindsight, it can be tempting to condemn those whose duty it was to conduct the war, and even to marvel at the attitude of those who saw it as their duty to fight it. The very grimness of their experience has given birth to a widely held emotional view of the war, in which every Tommy wears a halo, and every officer above the rank of captain a pair of devil's horns. Perhaps it is logical, in the spirit of our times, that some of us should think like that. But it is equally logical that in every echelon of their society, the great war generation should have felt and acted as they did, for they were as much the children of their time as we are of ours. It does no honour to pity them and their generation, as so many hand-wringing critics often do. They were not dupes. They were not victims. They were certainly not fools. They were just blokes who played the hand life dealt them as best they could, and it is unfair to judge their experience in terms of black and white. Of course, there were testing times, vile circumstances, horrifying experiences. But in several hundred hours of listening and recording conversations with veterans of the war, what frequently comes through is what a cheerful bunch they are on the whole. Despite the lurid events and tough times they often describe, they remember the jokes, the laughs, the pranks, and they often chuckle or sing a snatch of some old song. They are recalling their youth and the good times that made the sad, bad times bearable. I am constantly amazed by the passion of controversy and argument which discussion of the war can still arouse after the passage of a century. It is not my intention to enter the lists. This book does not set out to draw political conclusions, and although it is the story of a battle...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?